No more regular season. Let's cut the shit, Jordan. Play-in tournament special. Big Doug Wolfpack, Matt Einkorn, my good friend, Jordan Flegel, here to give you guys the takes that make you quake. We're finally here, Jordan. Season 4 of Big Dog Ball Talk. We're at this point of the season. I think it's the 4th season. I don't know. Who knows? Let us know at home. Big Dog Ball Talk Monkey will keep the stats going. if you've been here rocking with us from the start, we appreciate you. And here we go. Back into the play-in tournament here. You know, there's lots on the line, both for the teams at stake, as well as Jordan Flegel's bank account, because his Sacramento Kings, our $50 annual wager, back against the wall. We're going to be giving our picks and predictions for each of the matchups. And, you know, you don't want to go anywhere. The Big Dogs also got you guys covered with a special Wednesday episode where we will be giving out all of our end-of-season awards and hardware. Don't want to miss that one. And then, of course, Friday will be our full playoff preview, all 8 of the first-round matchups and our finals predictions. So it's going to be a wild week, one of the best weeks of the season, because everything's up in the air. Oh, yes. Anybody could be the champions. But first, before we get into the champions, we got to talk about the play-in tournament, Jordan. Before we talk about the actual matchups here, I do want to get your take on it, because it's been around for a couple years now, and I liked it when it first came out, but now I'm kind of lukewarm on the play-in. I think that the excitement of it has kind of settled a bit. It's dwindled a little bit for me, because at the end of the day, you have this matchup, you know, a 10 seed, you know, could pull off an upset and go all the way to the 8 seed. Like, that's kind of cool to see them vault. But does a Heat team that was 3 games back from the Hawks really deserve to have a chance to get in there? And then even if they do, again, you look at the Western Conference, you know, it's so stacked, so loaded. Can you imagine the Kings and the Mavericks somehow squeak in there, they get in the 8 seed, and then all that effort is rewarded by probably a 4-game sweep from the Thunder. It just, to me, it just doesn't seem like we even need to have this happen, or we need to go back to the original bubble style where if you want to get a play-in game, you have to be within a certain amount of games of the seed ahead of you, or else it just doesn't make sense. I believe in the bubble was like you had to be within like 3 games, 4 games, something like that, something somewhat attainable. But yeah, I don't think, like, I'm fine with like the Warriors and Grizzlies. They really wanted to play for the 7 seed. Like, I don't care. But at the same time, I don't think the Kings and Mavericks, you really need to be involved in there. But yeah, I like it, but at the same time, I'm not 100% in, because I don't really think it reduces tanking at this point either. Because I mean, if you don't like, you can still be bad, and then, you know, like you can make the play in. You don't really give a shit. You'll just lose.
Yeah, 100%. I do not think it is a fix for tanking. I mean, there's a bigger tanking conversation we should probably have at some point. This year felt like there was too much like random shit that went wrong for too many teams that it felt like a worse than normal tanking season, because it was, but like, I don't think this is the new normal or anything. The Sixers situation, the Suns situation, even the Spurs situation, those were all pretty out of the ordinary. You could even argue the Raptors situation. I don't think they've necessarily had it in their mind the start of the season that they wanted to tank like that. So
I mean, the Jazz winning 17 games is kind of ridiculous, because I don't think that many people really pay attention to Utah, but like, they were arresting guys for no reason. You know, Lauri Markkanen was sick, then he had a strained ankle, then billions of fake injuries to Jordan Clarkson, Colin Sexton, all these veteran guys just getting sat for no reason. Like, they generally should have had probably an investigation done, but, you know.
Yes. And so, you know, you're always going to get a few teams like that. But it felt like this year we had more than normal. And yeah, the play-in for the teams that make it in, like, yeah, they're just a rung above those bad teams. I don't think, it's changed that much about the watchability of the latter half of the season. Like, the Eastern Conference has basically been unwatchable for over a month. The West has been somewhat entertaining, but if you come across a tanking team, it's just that the game, you might as well not watch it. So that's something the league's got to deal with. But the play-in in and of itself, I'm with you that initially I was like, oh, this is so cool, this is such a fun concept. Now I think back to the days of when it was just the top 8 and you're in, you knew the matchups. It was kind of less complicated, and I found it more exciting to sort of think up what could happen.
Imagine the finale this year for all the seeds. It would have been even more of a bloodbath than it was.
Exactly. So that's the thing. And now you're looking at the situation where, like, the Warriors, they're they've won 48 games and they're in seventh. That's two games back of the Lakers in third, which themselves are only two games back of the Rockets. Do the Warriors really deserve the fate of having to win to get into the postseason at all? Like, that's not really fair. And it's not even, it's also not fair for the Grizzlies, identical record to the Warriors, when you're looking back at a team eight games behind you in the Kings that you have to play. Whether it's the Kings or the Mavericks, you know, one of those teams is going to have to play them in a one-off. Like, that's not fair. So I think I actually have landed on the, it has to be within a certain amount of games to be triggered. I know that, I don't know if that's feasible to like have it happen some years and then some other years it wouldn't, or happen in one conference and it doesn't, but I don't think that that would be too hard to finagle. I think the league could deal with that. Like for instance, if it was three games, like I'm fine with it happening in the East this year. Cause again, like the Bulls are only one game back of the eighth, seed Hawks. And then the Heat are right there as well. That's close enough. That's bunched up enough that fine. Those teams want to duke it out. None of them are making it out of the first round anyway. They're all pretty shit, to be honest, from the Magic down to the Heat, at least in terms of how they've, those four teams have played recently. But yeah, like the Kings and the Mavericks, as much as I want the Kings to make it in here, to make me my $50, they don't deserve to be in the postseason. And I know it's a very crowded West this year, and in other years they would deserve it. And if either of those teams were in the East, they might, have avoided the play-in altogether, if they had that easier schedule. That's neither here nor there, though. Like, it's the fairness of having those guys have a shot to get in over either the Grizzlies or the Warriors just, doesn't feel good. So I'm with you. Doesn't have the same cachet or whatever that it did initially. But hey, I'm still going to watch the games. I'm still going to enjoy it. Still going to see, if the Warriors can get their first ever play-in win, because as people keep pointing out, they've never won one of these games. Yes. 0-3.
Hey, and if you're looking at all-time performers in the play-in, Jonas Valanciunas, the all-time points and rebounds leader in play-in games. So and they got DeRozan, who I think has been in it like four times. So
this is
the favorable experience edge goes to the Kings in this. But I last thing I'll say before we actually talk about the matchups, just talking about the playoff format right now, currently in the NBA. I mean, this is something we talked about even when we were just Matt and Jordan Jr. back there, just really in the budding years of our basketball fandom. The Western Conference has been better than the Eastern Conference pretty much our entire lives. Most of like the modern NBA, the Western Conference has always been like subjectively better than the Eastern Conference as a whole. When are we going to say fuck it and just do away with the conferences when it comes to playoff seeding? Because at this point, it's again, we haven't had a season where it's this lopsided in quite a while, but like when you look at it, the Memphis Grizzlies are the 13th best team in the NBA, and they're better than the Pistons, who are the sixth seed over in the Eastern Conference by four games. Like, that's not like they're a close record. Like, the Grizzlies are substantially a better team than a top six squad in the East. So like, one of them is getting a complete bye, the other one has to fight just to get into a 7 or 8 spot. It just, to me, it doesn't seem fair. It doesn't seem right. And at this point, I understand that, there's the logistics of traveling, depending on the matchups, you could end up having two teams that are on total polar opposites of the countries. They're really traveling far, and then that would delay the schedule. I get that. I also understand that, the owners aren't going to probably want to do that because, on the East, once they have the conferences, they're just going to want it to be fair. And they kind of have to change everything up. But if we're just saying what would give us the best basketball, what would make for the most exciting, 16 team tournament, that's it. Just to take the 16 best teams. We don't need to see, the fucking Hawks get in here. I don't need to see any of these other squads. Like, I just want to see the 16 best square off and really settle this. And then also see the top two teams in the league play each other in the finals, because, there's been plenty of years where, we kind of said the conference finals is going to be our pseudo NBA finals the only time that we think it's going to, sometimes we're surprised, but most of the time there are matchups where we know that, Western Conference final is going to be a closer matchup than the actual NBA finals itself. It's just something that does happen. So I personally understand it will never happen, but I do dream of a world where we could do that one season just to for the hell of it.
Yeah. And things have changed based on the geography. I mean, people remember the finals used to be 2-3-2 in the games instead of the 2 at home, 2 away, and then 1-1-1. And that was just because, you know, back then it was more, it made more sense logistically to just be in one place than be in the other, on the other coast or wherever you were for the three straight games. But then it was like, well, no, we've got fucking, you know, fast airplanes now. We can probably handle it. Like, I don't think it would be that crazy to do away with the conferences and have, sure, worst case scenario, you've got fucking Boston versus LA in the first round. You fly back and forth. It's not the end of the world. Like, I think they could handle it.
You'd more than make up with it with revenue if people wanted to watch that series.
Well, yeah, 100%. Even more so for me, like, keeping the conferences, is it is nice having sort of rivalries that develop over the years. So I get that part of it as well, sort of the argument of keeping the conferences. But even if it has to be that, like, when these next two expansion, you know, when we get the Seattle team and the Vegas team, that one of these better Western Conference teams gets shifted over, like, I don't know, geographically, it could maybe be Minnesota, that moves over.
Memphis.
It could be, yeah, Memphis is kind of, you know, towards the middle there. I would say New Orleans, but they're not going to at present change the balance of power. So, you know, maybe they got to pick one of the better teams, but the difference is pretty stark. It has been like this before years past, like you're talking about, like where an 8 seed in the West has won 50 games. I mean, we're almost there now with Memphis at 48, but like that's that amount of jumbled upness doesn't feel fair. Yeah. When you look over to the East, which consistently has been having horrible teams that are under 500 get in the postseason. It's it doesn't seem fair, but it is what it is.
Well, and we usually do for these previews, we usually go East to West, but because the West is just so much more exciting, we probably know that you guys want to hear more about our Western Conference picks. Let's start with the Western Conference this year, Jordan. Switching up our compasses for this year's play-in preview. But of course, if you are interested in those Eastern Conference play-in matchups, don't worry. We got you covered. That'll just be coming up after we give these picks. Let's start it off. Let's talk about the 7-8 matchup. The coup de grace, the main event of the play-in tournament. Warriors, Grizzlies squaring off. It's going to be Golden State advantage at home. Again, 248 win teams in the regular season. It has all the makings for this to be a really interesting matchup. Great clash of styles between, you know, the grit and grind Grizzlies and then the fast-paced and really successful so far Warriors with Jimmy Butler included in that lineup. The Warriors took it 3-1 in the regular season matchup, the regular season series. So a little bit of an advantage there. And again, the sudden death matchup, you know, anything can happen. But Jordan, I mean, initially, what are you kind of looking at in this Warriors and Grizzlies matchup? Because it's looking like it's anyone's to win.
Yeah, I think it'll be closer than like people think or the line suggests. I think there is a world in which the Warriors just jump out and destroy them and take care of business, especially now you have Jimmy there now, another veteran presence that has been in these types of games before many, many times. And, I can see a scenario where they just sort of jump on it. But Jimmy kind of injured, I think it was like his groin a little bit in that Clippers game. He was kind of hobbled there towards the end. Steph is dealing with this thing on his right thumb, which he seemed to be completely, no worries with it at all in that last game of the regular season. But you never know. It could swell up a little bit. It could be bothering him that day. With these one game, samples, it is like the freaking tournament, the NCAA tournament, like anything can happen here. I don't think that the Grizzlies really have it in them to be this sort of inspired team and go out there and win on the road. I really do think the Warriors are going to win, but I think it's going to be closer than people think because it's going to be kind of a game of runs, going to go back and forth a little bit. I see Ja Morant having a good game because again, the Warriors don't have anyone I think can really that can really lock him down. The Grizzlies, they're going to be motivated. They're going to want to be locked in. They've beat the Warriors before in the play-in.
Yep.
And these teams do kind of have a history against each other, but I like the Warriors overall. I think they're going to find a way to get it done, but I do think it's going to be close. When you're looking at it though, it hurts if you're the Grizzlies. I mean, aside from the fact that you've fucking just recently fired your coach and things are up in the air because of that, But not having Jalen Wells or Brandon Clark, that just really hurts. Yeah. I mean, it's always constantly injuries for this team. But if you had both of those guys, and you were sort of more rolling as a team, I would like their chances, just because they're young, they're deep, they're physical. You know, defensively they get after it. But the other problem too is Memphis hasn't been playing good basketball for months now. I mean, that's a big part of the reason why Taylor Jenkins was let go when he was, because they just couldn't get anything going. Mm-hmm. And since he was fired, aside from like that jaw game winner that we talked about against the Heat, you know, a couple weeks ago now, they just have not put much inspiring basketball out there on the court. So yeah, I think the Warriors do take care of business, but I could see maybe Memphis, like Jaw would have to have a crazy game and Jaren Jackson Jr. would have to hit like 7 threes, but is that out of the realm of possibility? Like that's not.
If they never fired Taylor Jenkins, I would be way more, high on this Grizzlies team. That's like that really still has, thrown a wrench into everything. Get well soon, Jalen Wells, very scary fall. Anyone missed that one, felt bad for kid on the Hornets that committed the foul, or like not. He got a flagrant two for it, but it was like, come on, like it wasn't like. It was just because of the injury, but yeah, hopefully he's back.
Guys, if
on
you
the court.
Dunk the ball, don't let go of the rim. Just hold on, let yourself swing back. Yeah. Not Jalen Wells' fault. He was going full speed, and it's easier said than done. But that's how we always see these scary falls, when they swing and let go right at the apex. It's pretty scary stuff.
Me and Jordan know a lot about hanging off the rim after. Oh yeah, dunk, take our word for it.
Experience, yeah.
Even so, even without, with the chemistry a little bit lower than, I'm sure they would like, I honestly like the Grizzlies' chance in this one. I do like their chances to upset in this one. They relish being the villain. They like being the bad guys, especially Ja Morant. Everybody out there at the Chase Center, you better have some riot shields or some protective cover, because I think Ja Morant's going to be chucking
some grenades.
Those nades are coming in, or as he said, he's dispelling the badness that comes out of people's mouths, and he's not letting it go in his ears. Hilarious take on that from Jaw. He had that one drummed up. He was ready for people to ask. I'm going for the bazooka. He's going to shoot it and like fall backwards and somersault around or something. Or maybe the Uzi. I don't know. I guess that's too close to a gun. But I do like their chances, not just, from the narrative point where, they do want to kind of silence the crowd and everything. But like you said, the Warriors are an older team. They are, starting to kind of feel it a little bit down the stretch of the season. Obviously, awesome performance against the Clippers, went to overtime, really close matchup. But again, I think that almost hurts them. Like, they put a lot of their energy and their eggs into getting that win. They were trying hard to get that win, and they couldn't do it. I know they've had a couple days once this matchup comes to be where they'll have some time to rest and recoup. But I do think that, when you play one of the faster-paced teams like the Grizzlies, I think that they could really run into some trouble early on, especially if they're not able to pull out that early lead, like you said. Because really, Jimmy Butler's out there. He's a great addition, and he can kind of I think he'll have a solid performance no matter what. But really, everywhere else, I kind of feel like the advantage is for the Grizzlies. Like, they've got guys who can kind of pester and get in the way of Curry. They want, like Ja Morant, is not maybe the best on-ball defender, but when Steph's going off-ball trying to get through screens, Ja Morant is fast enough, he's elusive enough, he's sneaky enough. I think that he'll be able to go pace for pace with Curry and kind of at least deter him from getting some of these off-screen three-balls opportunities. And then additionally, you look down low, and I think I texted you about this potential matchup. Jaren Jackson Jr. and Zach Edey are going to absolutely feast on this team. Like, Draymond Green, yes, he plays bigger than he is, and might win the Defensive Player of the Year this year. We'll see how that all ends up going. But they're going to get feasted on down low. I really think if they can get a couple possession lead, they can just go downtown and just go and start pounding these guys on the inside, delivering in the interior. And really, there won't be anything for the Warriors to do but huck up threes. And I know that, historically, that's a success. Plan for them, at the end of the day, I don't really trust anybody else on this team outside of Curry to really get it done. Like, Jimmy Butler maybe can turn it on, but Draymond's not going to be hitting those threes. Like, we've seen him, he almost airballed a three down the stretch of that game against the Clippers. I actually thought it was short, like it was going to hit the underside of the fucking rim. Like, it was low. I barely had enough to reach there, and it was wide open. So I don't really think that they are going to be able to claw back if they go down to the Grizzlies. Whereas if the Warriors get out to an early lead, I actually still have more faith, even when they're, you know, a little bit downtrodden right now. I still think the Grizzlies have the potential to go on a run, run the court. And they've just got this abundance of like lengthy, defensive, gritty wings that they can just pull from. It's never ending there in Memphis. None of them are going to, you know, be all-star type of players. But, you know, you've got Vince Johnson, you got Vince Williams, pardon me. You've got Scottie Pippen Jr. You know, coming in there, like he's going to be a deterrent, and I'm sure he's going to get a whole lot of minutes in this one. And even Desmond Bain, I think, could be set for a big game because I really don't know who's going to be stopping him on the other side. Like Moses Moody, I'm sorry, you're going to get torched.
Moses
Kuminga, not really the greatest defender in his own right either. Like I think he actually won't have that effective of an offensive game because they've got athletes that can match him with his size and his athleticism. So for all those reasons, I'm rocking with the underdog Grizzlies to take the win and bump their way up to number seven here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you raise a good point about the interior. Like what happens if Draymond Green gets two quick fouls? What do you do? Yeah. You go to Looney. You think Looney's going to hold his own in there? Mm-hmm. Trace Jackson Davis, like these other bigs that the Warriors, when they're forced to go bigger, that's when I think they look their worst. Like they have to play, they have to be able to play small with Draymond at the five. And yeah, the Grizzlies present a lot of size problems. Like even Santi Aldama, if he's out there he's playing the four or the five, like that's going to give Draymond problems if that's who he's matched up against, just because he can shoot it so well. But you know, defensively can still grab rebounds and stuff. And I like the issue with the Warriors still is, and Jimmy Butler's fixed some of this, but it still is, if you can shut down Steph, there's really not a lot that they have in the tank offensively to go to. Mm-hmm. Like still points per game for the season, the Warriors are 17th. Memphis is second. They are second in points per game because they get so many of these contributions from all these different guys. Like you mentioned, Scottie Pippen Jr., I think he's going to be out there. I agree, he's going to get a lot of minutes, and he's just going to hound Steph Curry. He's a really like stout defender. He reminds me of like how Fred VanVleet defends Steph Curry types. Just is always on his hip. Yeah, he's a little bit shorter, but he's just always going to be there. Steph's not going to be able to shake him offensively too. When he's out there, he can make plays. Like we know how good of a season he's had. So like the depth of contributions that Memphis can pull from. You've got a lot of options. Like you're right. Yeah. Does Desmond Bane go off? Does Jaren Jackson have a really good game? Does Luke Kennard hit enough threes to sort of, you know, make the difference? You look at the Warriors, it's like, we need Steph or we need Jimmy. Those are our two options. Like there's not really good. I mean, unless you're going to hope for a Pajemski gem again.
Yes.
But again, he's kind of hit and miss. Like, he'll have good games, and he certainly sort of closed the season better than he began it. But I don't know how much truly you can rely on him. It just depends what type of Memphis team shows up. I think this is like the argument you're making that Memphis can get there. I think that team exists somewhere. I just don't know how much they're going to coalesce and come in and actually live up to that potential, because they've played so bad so often recently. And so if they come in like that, just kind of disjointed and like, oh, our coach just got fired, I don't really care, I'm ready for the season to be over, then yeah, the Warriors clearly are going to care more. But if Memphis comes in with chip on their shoulder, really wanting to come in and reclaim some of the respect that it feels like they've lost recently, then the Warriors are going to have quite a bit on their hands here. But if it's close coming down the stretch, like you want to say sort of instinctively, at least I do, that you give the edge to the Warriors. But we just saw that Clippers game, last game of the season, that was in Golden State. It felt a little bit like the Warriors got tight offensively, and everyone knew that only like it was going to Steph. The Clippers were able to load up on him, and then that's when he gives the ball up, like if it's to someone other than Draymond, and
Jesus Christ,
make the Buddy Hield great play, like what do you do? Like
Buddy Hield for the win play.
Well, yes.
What the hell are you thinking? Guy hasn't fucking played pretty much the entire second half, and you're going to throw him in there for the win? Like,
give me a break. Yeah. So like the options for the Warriors are just not good. So if it is close down the stretch, it's like, okay, maybe Memphis does kind of have the edge there. I know they also struggle scoring in the half court, so it might be, you know, a bit of a rock fight, but you convinced me a little bit to maybe lean Memphis a little bit more, but not fully. I'm still going Golden State. I just don't want to I just don't want to entertain the scenario that they won't make the postseason. And I think a Rockets Warriors series will be really fun. So I'm still going with the Warriors, but yeah, I'm with you that it's quite possible Memphis could pull this off.
Well, Jimmy Butler, more free throws made than field goals so far in his Golden State career. Crazy stat. So who knows? But another thing that might play a part in this, will we get the postseason whistle? We'll see. Maybe they'll break out the regular season one just for this one. But moving on, let's start with the 9-10 matchup. Obviously, this one is sudden death. Loser is officially over. Their season's done, as well as $50 hanging in the balance, potentially, between the Sacramento Kings and the Dallas Mavericks. A weird one. Again, you know, the Western Conference, like, this is the 9-10. We don't really care to see either of these two teams in the playoffs, and we're going to be 100% honest. I know we're setting the stage for quite the clash. We are still going to be fucking watching it. It's technically postseason basketball. Yep. It's kind of that weird middle ground. But the Sacramento Kings and the Dallas Mavericks squaring off here out of the Sacramento Kings barn. I kind of get back and forth on this one. I'm not going to lie, because I genuinely think that the Kings are bad enough and soft enough defensively that Anthony Davis could have like an insane heroic 30-point, 15 rebound game and squeak something out here. DeRozan chokes, LaVine chokes. Like there is such a possibility for the Kings to fuck this up. But with that being said, I do think that the Kings will win this game. I think that it's going to be close, but I think the Kings can get it done. They've got some good depth. They won't be. They will be without Malik Monk for this one. He might be back if they are able to get into that 7-8 spot for the play-in, or the 8-seed play-in. Pardon me. But yeah, not having him is a huge loss down the stretch of the season. So that's tough right now. Going against the Mavericks, who obviously they've had plenty of injuries on, you know, their tab all season long. So I'm giving the edge to the Kings. I just think they've got more depth. They kind of are a more well-rounded basketball team. Like the guard depth of the Mavericks is absolutely dog shit right now. Like Max Christie and Spencer Dinwiddie are two of your best players. Like that's not going to get it done. Klay Thompson, who's just a, you know, skeleton of his former self, it's not going to get it done. But again, who knows? Maybe for the play-in, he cashes like 8 threes. Like it's possible. They have these guys who could just pop off and have an amazing night for one game only, right? Like it's possible. But if I'm putting my smart money down, I think I am still going to ride with the Kings to, you know, pull this off. They got Sabonis. Like he'll probably have a good game here still against Anthony Davis as well. And yeah, I just think they've got too much depth. The home crowd will probably be really going bonkers for them, and probably what it will maybe be their last game of the year. I think at this point too, the Mavericks probably just wanted to be over.
That's my thought too. Again, it sort of depends on the mindset of these teams. I think a lot of people in the Mavericks would secretly love to just forget it, do their exit interviews and get the hell out of Dallas. It's been such a insane, you know, place to be for all of them, I'm sure. But I think you're spot on though about Anthony Davis. I just have a feeling he's going to score like 40 points. Because
Sabonis is the worst guy to cover him.
I know. I mean, I know they've got JV there now too, but still not a great option.
He'll kill him.
I mean,
he will torch JV.
Yeah. So
the center depth is actually a huge issue because they've got Lively and Gafford back too now.
Yep, exactly. This is exactly the type of game that doesn't really mean much for Anthony Davis to have a huge performance for the people who like him to be like, see, he's so good. He's one of the best in the NBA. Like, it's the perfect
trade was even.
Very little stakes game for him to just go off because he loves doing that. So I'm fully expecting that. Like, I can't go against the Kings in the end because I can't throw away my $50 here. I need them to win and then the next one as well, obviously. So I'll go with the Kings, but I don't feel good about it. Like, I feel even less sure about this one than I do about my previous Warriors pick. I just have a feeling that the Kings, they've just been so meh. And the Mavericks. I feel like they're going to want to say, look, this has been a crazy season, but let's go and just let's give our fans at least something to hold on to. Like, we can't go through all this shit that we went through and then lose in the play-in. Like, they might, depending on their mindset, but I have a feeling that's gonna be how they see this thing. And yeah, like they the Kings aren't good at the end of the day. You just need to put together an okay performance from some other guys. If AD has sort of the monster stat line that I think he's going to have. And then, defensively, the Mavs still have a pretty good foundation. Like they've still got guys that they can put on DeRozan and Levine and, the scorers that the Kings have. And by the finest of margins, I'm still going to pick the Kings. Like you said, that home court advantage, that should maybe provide them a bit of a boost. On the Kings side, you are going to hope that Sabonis can at least match what Anthony Davis gives you, or at least come close to that. And then you just need one of DeRozan or Levine probably to put you over the top, to have a good shooting game. And maybe DeMar will be on. And, as it's close sort of down the stretch in the fourth quarter, he just hits a bunch of mid-rangers or Zach LaVine gets hot because he has been pretty great shooting the ball, in these type of situations. But I don't feel good about it, but I'll go with the Kings.
Yeah, I like the Mavs at least give me they're a little frisky. They give me a little jolt of excitement. They've got something about them that I'm like, you know what? Like maybe they could pull off some kind of an upset. The Kings, it's like even if they won that game, like we're gonna, we might as well branch into it because we're kind of already talking about it. Like no fucking way they beat the Grizzlies or the Warriors.
Yeah, they are, baby, and I get my $50. Yes, yeah. They do.
Like, no fucking way. It's just, it won't happen. The Mavericks, because they have Anthony Davis, they've got a couple guys with, big game experience. Maybe they've got a chance. Like, can you imagine that, say, the Warriors lose to the Grizzlies and then the Mavericks upset the Kings and then Klay Thompson gets a revenge game in Golden State?
That would be.
And then again,
nice.
You've got Anthony Davis again, another big man issue against Draymond Green. That's the thing I said to you. Like the Warriors missing the top six is such a bad thing to happen because all the teams in the play-ins have dominant centers. Like no matter who they play, like they have, if they don't get by the Grizzlies, they're either playing AD or Sabonis. Sabonis is probably the better one to play against because Draymond, has maybe a bit of a mental edge against him because he's inflicted a lot of pain on him before.
The Kings bounced the Warriors last year. That was the play-in match.
Yeah,
last
that's true.
Year, and they beat him, and they'll come in, potentially thinking they can do it again. And for the record, that's the game, since we're talking about Klay a little bit. Was that not the game that Klay shot 0 for 10, his last game as a Warrior?
Yeah. We a lot of familiar faces in the play-in once again. It's interesting the way that's
always
all
the same
out.
Guys.
Yeah, a bunch of habitual play-in players. I guess that's the way we're gonna make these legacies. I mean, DeRozan, unfortunately, it's like again the DeRozan and Levine being in here. It's like Chicago Bulls of the fucking West. Like marginally better. Like you get a better European center that can't shoot it as well. Awesome. Yep. I don't think the Kings will do it. I don't think the Mavericks will either. I think, the Grizzlies and the Warriors will be the 7 or 8, whichever way it goes. But, man, would it be insane if the Kings or the Mavericks could pull off the upset and go, whoever and beat either of those teams? Like, again, part of me, like, my brain tells me the Grizzlies will win. But my gut is telling me, like, they're not even going to give a fuck. And the Kings or the Mavericks could beat the Grizzlies. Because I think if the Grizzlies lose that first game, they might just say, fuck this, then morale drops even lower.
Because your matchup is with OKC. I mean, none of those teams are going to feel good about winning possibly even one game in a series like that. But at least if you're coming from the play-in, it's like, oh, we can say that we made it out of the play-in and feel good and host, at least have a first-round series at all. So you're right. I mean, that's the thing with Memphis. Like, they're so tough to predict because if you look at, like, their stats throughout the season and even their record, like, they – on paper are like production
they're
wise
good.
Are an incredible team. Like there's still all of their fucking like counting stats as a team. Like I mentioned before, points per game, second in the league. They're fifth in the whole league in point differential, which is crazy. Top 10 in assists, top 10 in steals, second in blocks and second in rebounds. Like that is like a contending level, stat sheet outlook thing like that they have, but the problem is they haven't looked like that team in so long. So I don't know what we're getting. And you're right, if they lose to the Warriors, they're then hosting that next game, the script could kind of be flipped on them of like feeling a lot of pressure having to win that home game, no one feeling really good about how the season has gone, their fans included, Ja Morant taking a bunch of bad shots in the second half, trying to take it in his own hands. And then truly anything can happen. I guess, that is the fun part of the play-in. But, my bet aside, which still rooting for the Kings to get in there, and hey, maybe they can upset the Thunder. Do I get an extra $50 if the Kings upset the Thunder in the first round, Matt?
If the Kings beat the Thunder, we might have to. If they make the play, and then I'll think of something. Yeah, because I'll give your money back in interest or something. Yeah, because that would be. I'll put the $50 down for the Kings to win. It would probably fucking pay out like $5 million. That's what we'll do. We'll reinvest that $50.
But aside from that, I'm with you. I hope it's the Warriors and the Grizzlies that get in. Yeah. That's the only thing that's fair. We will see. We'll see. No, never know what happens in the play-in, baby.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going Warriors, Grizzlies, 7-8, whichever way it goes. My prediction would be Grizzlies 7, Warriors 8. Before we move over to the East, I do want to say if the Warriors, like outside of the Warriors, between those other three teams, the Mavericks probably have the most to play for, because you know that front office is going to be drilling them. Like, if we don't make the playoffs, then this all looks even worse. If they can at least squeeze into that 8 seed, they might be like, okay,
beat OKC
made
again.
The
they're in there. They're in OKC's head, baby. They beat them last year. PJ Washington turns into prime fucking MJ against the Thunder. So that'd be a fun one.
Like, I think that it's possible. I really am starting to believe it. Because again, Kings, I don't think they give a fuck at this point. I think they all know the writing on the wall that this was a failure every year. Grizzlies getting to that point as well. So yeah, I'm really interested to see how the Western Conference play-in shakes out. Everything, you know, obviously the Grizzlies and the Warriors will be kicking things off on Tuesday night. You might be listening to that this Tuesday morning. I hope you guys have had a nice morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's move over to the Eastern Conference here, Jordan. Let's start with the 7-8 matchup.
Oh, joy.
Battle of the Southeast Titans, the Southeast champion, division champions, Orlando Magic, which is funny. So you could be you could be like your division champion, but then still miss the playoffs. Like, do they have
apparently,
to now
rescind? That used to be a thing, though. Didn't it used to be if you were a division champion, you were guaranteed top four? Am I imagining that?
Yeah. No, that happened. Used to be a thing. Okay. That did happen. I think the Raptors got, there was one year the Atlantic was dog shit when the Knicks and the Celtics and everyone were down. Yeah. And it was like, I think that was like one of the Bosch years. They,
seven,
they played the Magic.
8-9. Yeah. Yeah.
Then they got stomped out. That was, and then Bosch flipped the next year. Yeah. Was that maybe 2008? Yeah. 2000, I don't know. I think that's how it went. Maybe it was one year earlier. But yeah, they did. The division winners used to get in there. So yeah, imagine the 41-41 Magic right now would be up there playing like the Woo-hoo. Pacers. Like that. Yeah. That'd be
fantastic.
Insane. But. Yeah, it's nuts because, again, potentially with the way the play-in works, the Magic could totally, completely miss the playoffs, but then still be the division champions, but they don't make the playoff. Just nuts. It's weird how that would work.
Are they going to hang a banner?
That would be fucking hilarious. That would be funny. Division champions did make the playoffs. First time in NBA history, hang the banner. But yeah, let's talk about it. Magic versus Hawks. Huge clash of styles in this one. You know, we've got the defensive juggernauts and the Magic, you know, a top three defensive team in the NBA, but bottom three offense. And then you got the flip side of things with the Hawks that are, you know, high scoring, high volume, shooting team, but one of the worst defensive teams that you're going to find in the NBA right now. Ooh, this one's going to be an ugly one, Jordan. It's either going to be super high scoring.
The viewership is going to be very good for this one. Sorry, NBA.
Yeah, 100%. It's either going to be super high scoring or it's going to be really low scoring for both teams. Like it's going to be a close matchup no matter what way it goes. I'd be shocked if one team really blows the other out. You got Trae Young in here who has proved to be like maybe the play-in goat in the past. Like he really gets up for these ones. He'll probably have a decent night. Based on the way history goes. But when I'm looking at this one, Jordan, like realistically, the Magic should absolutely pound the Hawks. Like it shouldn't be close. They've got all the personnel, even you know, with all these injuries, that they should, you know, just beat the shit out of the Hawks, tip off to the final buzzer, because they've got the matchup advantage in pretty much every single area. Like Trae Young, you're going to have a horrible, horrible night trying to get anything going. In the three games they played each other this year, Trae Young was held, I think, under 25. In two of the three matchups they played. And if Trae Young isn't scoring, then you're fucked. The Hawks have nothing outside of him. Reese Shea has turned it on in the second half of the season, but he's a rookie. He still is super raw. I'm not convinced with him at all. The Great Barrier Thief, Dyson Daniels, same thing, not offensive. You know, maybe he'll have some good defensive stats. Maybe he'll be able to try and slow down, Franz Wagner or maybe even Paolo, but those guys are so much bigger than him. They'll stuff him in the rim. I don't see him really getting any good stops on the Magic side of things. Yeah, it's just a bad matchup for the Hawks stylistically, personnel-wise. I see the Magic running away with this one pretty early, if I'm being honest. But again, you know, maybe this will be a Trae Young masterclass, and we'll all be you know, proven wrong there in the camp that the Magic will win this one. But I think this is another one where it's like the Magic have something to play for. The Hawks really don't. I think they're just kind of happy, if you want to put it that way, to be here, whereas the Magic actively do want to be in the, you know, this playoff bracket.
True. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, this one, this is for the basketball sickos. This is definitely going to be on NBA TV. This has NBA TV written all over it.
If they could have it, if Adam could put this on at like a 2:30 slot, he would be creaming his pants.
Yes, absolutely. You know, it would be much more fun if Jalen Suggs was in this matchup and Jalen Johnson was in this matchup.
Like
fucking Larry Nance, like the two of the biggest sort of most important guys for each of their teams are out. These teams are just, it's so clear neither of them are going anywhere. They're not doing anything in the first round. They're so clearly flawed. Like, I'm just so over both of these teams. I know the Magic, I should be less over them because they've only recently, like, got quote-unquote good again.
Seven wins in the last 10 games.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, they've picked it up more recently. But I'm disappointed with how the back half of their season has gone based on how good they looked at the beginning when they were, like, holding on to that top four seeding. I know it's not their fault. Paolo went down, and then you do lose Suggs, and you've had injuries all year. But
they got worse when he got back.
And he's looked pretty bad since he's been back, which has been just disappointing. I'm just kind of over the Magic in terms of what they're ultimately going to be this season. They clearly need more offense. They need more shooting. They need to make changes. And until then, I just kind of feel like I don't really care what happens. And the Hawks, I mean. I'm so fucking sick of these fucking Hawks. Like, it's the same thing every goddamn year. I keep tricking myself into thinking like, oh, I kind of sneakily like the Hawks. And I do like Dyson Daniels. I do really like Jalen Johnson. We're not going to get to see him here, unfortunately. There's guys on this team that I like, but clearly, again, there's something that's just not fully clicking, you know, getting this team to the next level. So what I'm trying to say here is I don't give a fuck who wins this game. I hope it's close. I just have a feeling... Everything you said is right. Like, technically, the Magic, they have the home court advantage. They're stout defensively. They have the fucking playoff experience from last year. I think it makes sense to say they're going to come in. I think the Hawks are winning this game. I think Trae Young, down the stretch, it's going to be close. Maybe you're right that the Magic's kind of jump out to a lead, and then they're going to hit a wall where they can't hit shots. The Hawks are going to climb back into it. And then at the end of the day, if it's close, I'm picking Trae Young to take this home. Like you said, the play-in goat, the play-in king. I think he's going to come in and deliver down the stretch. So I'm going with the Hawks. Reiterating again, I don't care, but I'm going with the Hawks.
Yes, yeah. Fuck the East play-in.
That's sad.
Where we're at. I mean, again, it's still basketball. We're going to cherish it as we are getting, sadly, down to the stretch of the end of the year.
And just quickly... because you said that there, mentioned that Paolo's been bad since he got back, I think this is a big game for Paolo Banchero. He better have a good, efficient game here, because if he can't do it against the Hawks, then we have to reevaluate what we thought like he looked like he was going to be through the first five games of the season, which is like, some people were talking about like MVP in his future. Yeah, he was amazing. He was so good. But like, if he's going to be that, you better take care of the fucking Hawks and you better have a great game. You know, on both sides as a distributor, it's the Hawks, for God's sake. So I'm going to be watching him. If he has a stinker, that's not a good look for his sort of this season for him.
Yeah. And you know, to clarify, I do think he's still, you know, an all-star level guy. Like, I think he's got a bright future, but the efficiency has been horrible. But I do partly think that that's due to just him having to shoulder that and play outside of his comfort zone because they have literally nobody else to score the ball. So I think it's partly on, you know, the management not building the right team. So it's just him having to force shots a lot of the time. And even then, like, I'm not even trying to blame him for their downfall from coming back from injury. It's just, you know, that's just what happened. He was out. They were actually pretty good. He came back and they were shit. They actually were better when it was just Franz than when it was just Paolo. So some food for thought, potentially.
Because remember we talked about like when Franz was going off, it's like, this is great, but can they do it together?
Yeah.
Since they've been back and been together, it hasn't really clicked. They still haven't figured that out, which is, you know, an issue for them.
And as bad as they looked last year in the playoffs, I mean, they pushed the Cavs to seven, but I mean, yes, like, and they should have won in seven, but again, it was because their offense is just so shit that they just can't figure it out. So, I 100% could see Trae Young just kind of popping off. I mean, I love Corey Joseph, but my God, he's going to be probably put in the blender for a good portion of those one-on-one matchups they're going to be isolated into. But whether it's the Magic or the Hawks, let's talk about the 9-10 seeded
this
matchup.
This is the fun one.
This one honestly is. I actually am more looking forward to this matchup.
it's much better.
Like two teams who aren't even close to being 500, 39-43 Chicago Bulls versus the 37-45 Heat. What the fuck happened? Miami.
37.
This is an interesting matchup. Like, honest to God, this is a very cool matchup. You know, you've got the Josh Giddey, Nikola Vucevic, Kobe White Bulls versus the Tyler Hero, Andrew Wiggins, and Bam Adebayo, Miami Heat. It's in Chicago. But for some reason, Jordan, I just think the whole place is going to burn down. I think the Heat are going to upset. I think the Heat are going to get the win. I think they're going to beat the Bulls. I just feel like they've got guys who, like, they shouldn't be as bad as they are. I just am really lost as to how Spoelstra and this team have been so shit since, like, the trade deadline and after losing Jimmy. Because it kind of looked like things were good. Like, they didn't have Jimmy for most of the year. And they were kind of in that top six, seven, eight more so, like, spot. Yeah. And then just as the year went by, just lost.
For some reason, they were terrible after they traded Jimmy. When they brought in guys to fill in a spot, he wasn't even playing. It made no sense to me, but that's what happened.
So I'm a little bit at a loss as to why this team is playing as badly as they are. But even so, I think they match up well against the Bulls. I mean, some of you have heard me say this before. Bigger team. I think they're the tougher team. They will get the easier baskets. Like, the Bulls really rely on the three-point shot to fall. And I think the Heat have that mix of, you know, guys who can score on the inside but also guard the perimeter. Like Bam Adebayo is the absolute worst nightmare for a guy like Vucevic, even though, you know, Bam admittedly is having one of the worst years of his career since, you know, being in this, you know, upper echelon of, you know, NBA centers. You know, it's been definitely a down year, but, like, who's guarding Tyler Hero? Nobody. Like, Josh Giddey is going to have a really tough time. Kobe White can try, but Tyler Hero should be in for a big game. Not trying to joke. Yeah, I think he's questionable, but there's a chance that Lonzo will get in there. Hell, if Lonzo's playing, then that'll be a huge, huge boost if he's able to give any kind of defensive effort. But as far as I know, he's kind of like a 50-50, and when it's Lonzo Ball, it's more like a 25-75 when it's a 50-50. Yeah,
true.
And then on the other side, I really don't mean it to be a joke, but, like, Andrew Wiggins genuinely could have a huge game on this one. Yep. Like, Matias Pozuelos is not going to be able to guard him. He's probably going to be a little bit of a deer in the headlights with, you know, even though it's just a play-in, it's going to be a bigger atmosphere. There's going to be more cameras. There's going to be more, you know, on the line. And, you know, this is a guy who came through the G League. Like, I would trust a guy who played in college, you know, went through March Madness, knows what it's going to feel like. This is his biggest game he's played in since probably any kind of high school matchup he would have been in that was, you know, for high stakes. So I think that rookie might shit his pants a little bit in this one. And I could see the Heat pulling this one out and launching their way into that matchup for the 8 seed.
Yeah, I'm with you that my head is saying, logic would say that the Heat have a better team on paper, and they do. I mean, this is a team that's been, like, with guys that have been there before. Like Bam has been to the finals. Andrew Wiggins has won the finals. They've even got fucking old man Kevin Love there. They've got Tyler Hero, who's went far. Like, all these contributors.
He was an All-Star this year.
The recent, and Tyler, he's been having a great season. But I they've just been so inexplicably bad. Like, it's like how I feel about Memphis. It's like, what version of this Heat team is going to show up? And are the Heat excited to go and play against the Cavs? Like, again, as a best case scenario, maybe they are. Maybe they're like, look, the Cavs are not a great regular
last year.
Well, yeah, and it's like, it's not the Celtics, it's always been like when you're at the bottom, you know, chasing that 8 seed. And the Heat have been in that sort of race before recently. It's like, oh, we have to go up against the Celtics. Now you have to go against the Cavs, who, you know, I know they've had an incredible regular season, but like everyone keeps pointing out, they're not feared like the Celtics are. So maybe the Heat can get it in their heads that maybe they can make that a competitive series. But I don't know. I just, the fact that there are that many games under 500 is just so it's unbelievable. And I just don't believe in this team. Like if the Heat team, if a Heat team shows up ready to play and looks like they want to win, they should have no issues beating Chicago. I mean, think about how we've thought about the Bulls for the past like 3 years. Like they don't deserve to be in this position. Like realistically, they've been one of the like bad teams in the Eastern Conference for a long time. And not only that, they've now traded away their scorers that they had before in LaVine and DeRozan that made them kind of more legit. Like
their secret weapon in Zaya DeRozan, I believe that's her name. That got her the big win. She won them that game against the Raptors in the play-in.
Yes, yes. I totally forgot about that. They're definitely losing now because yeah, that gave them the boost that they needed. But yeah, like it's just the Bulls. They're I know that they've, like you said, offensively they've really leaned into shooting threes, and they've got, you know, Josh Giddey, who's kind of reinvented himself a little bit here, and they've got good players. But like, let's get real. If it's the Heat that we sort of have known them to be in terms of playoff, you know, a playoff team, they should be able to dismantle Chicago. I just have no trust that they're going to turn into that team for some reason. And I said to you in our last podcast that I don't care of the Hawks, the Magic, the Heat and the Bulls. I just want the Bulls to make it through because they'll be the most, at least entertaining in a series against the Cavs. So I'm willing that into existence. I'm zagging and I'm picking Chicago at home. I just think Chicago, like they play with like a joy. They play with this sort of, you know, ability to move the ball around, find good shots. The Heat are so hit and miss. And I just think if they come into it kind of like expecting to win or expecting to, that things are just going to come together, which it looks like they have this whole back half of the season when they've just looked awful for a lot of it. Then I think Chicago can jump out on them and just ride that energy and win the game. I don't feel super confident about it because again, Miami has all the tools to win this game, but just picking with my heart here. I'm going with the Bulls.
Well, stick with it, Jordan. Keep your heart out there. Wear it on your sleeve here. Cause we've got different picks on both sides of these play-in matchups in the East, which is exciting. But again, it's cause we just don't give a shit and the matchup sucks. So, I mean, no matter what, it's just makes it interesting, at least from the podcasting side of things. Hope you guys are enjoying a shit on the play-in. We really know how to promote it. I mean, Adam, it's not our job to promote it. If it sucks, don't talk about us. We don't fucking decide this. We just told you we would have done top 16 in the league. We'd get rid of the conferences. But so you've got Bulls versus Magic for the 8 seed, the rights to go and play Cleveland Cavaliers. Who do you got winning that matchup? Bulls, Magic.
Well, okay. I can't always pick with my heart. I would love the Bulls to win. I'm going to be rooting for that. But realistically,
next to Vucevic revenge game.
Yes, true. Realistically, though, like I don't think the Magic deserve to be balanced fully. Like they at least have shown for part of this year that there's a good team in there somewhere. And as fun as the Bulls are, and again, I'm going to be rooting for them to win this game hypothetically. But my smart and real pick here is the Magic to win that one pretty handily because again, that they're not going to want to lose and get bounced. In consecutive games by lower seeds. And I just don't think that they would let themselves lose to the Bulls because that would be such a disaster for the Magic who kept and to their credit, have taken a lot of steps forward. So like the only way I could see the Bulls winning that game is again, it's kind of up to the Magic a little bit more. Like if their offense just falls apart and Coby White is going crazy because they don't have that awesome point of attack defender in Jalen Suggs. Like they've got other guys that they can throw at him, but missing him, I could see a guy like Coby White going off and Josh Giddey having like a Draymond style triple double or something. It could maybe happen, but I don't think that's that likely. So yeah, I'm going with the Magic probably in a beat down in that one.
Okay, well I'm going with my Heat at Hawks matchup for the 8 seed.
I know who you're
going
to pick.
I'm going with the Heat, man. I'm going with the Heat. I believe that'll be the second.
So much.
Yes, I believe that'll be the second year in a row that a 10 seed gets their way into the
who was it last year?
Playoffs. I could have sworn it was last year. They had who would have been? Someone did it. Someone did it. I swear. Let me look at the play-in history. I thought that somebody did it.
Because I think you're right. I'm just trying to remember who it was, and the fact that that's pretty crazy.
I know the stat. But I'm pretty sure someone's done it.
Look it up, Alex.
Yeah, I'm looking this up right now, man. It's not 2020. Come on, yeah. Fill this gap, man.
Trying to think who it was last year.
Oh no, no, I think I'm just totally misremembering because yeah, Chicago, Chicago lost to Chicago beat Atlanta, and then they lost to Miami. Oh, yeah. And Miami was the 8 seed. Lakers, New Orleans, Sacramento. Nope. Chicago almost did it when they had that upset against Toronto. Then they lost when to Miami, and that was the year Miami went to the finals.
What seed were they though? What seed were Miami when they went to the finals?
The 8 seed, but they were the 7 seed in the regular season. They lost to the Hawks. Again, all the same fucking teams still hovering in the same spot. OKC almost got to the finals, almost got to the playoffs the 1 year. They lost to Minnesota in the play-in. That was 2023. So, okay, no, this would be the first time it's ever happened. I'm glad that we fact-checked this live on air.
So you think the 10 seed Heat are getting through? Wow.
I'm taking the 10 seed Heat to get all the way to the 8 seed. And again, they'll go into the Cleveland barn. I think that actually would be a more interesting series than we would get. I think the Magic versus Cavs series would also be a little more interesting. You got a bit of the rivalry brewing since last year's playoff went deep. I mean, the Cavs should probably handle business and have no problem with
even if it's the Hawks because it could be the Hawks. Remember, a few years ago it was Trae Young that knocked the Cavs out of the play.
Yep.
So that was
one of the first upsets. Yeah. But yeah, I think that was the year. Was that the year the Cavs? Because I still got it pulled up. I believe the Cavs were the 7 seed or something crazy, and then they ended up missing the entirety because they ended up losing the other game.
Yes, I think you're right.
So no, it was Cleveland lost to Brooklyn in the play-in, the first round, and then Cleveland played Atlanta in the second game, like the final number 8 seeded game, and Atlanta beat them in that one, an upset. So they did force the Cavs out of the playoffs. They took their spot. They jumped in. So that was a historic one there as well. But yeah, I just think the Heat, they're well coached. I think Spoelstra can get his soldiers lined up and motivated and ready to play. And I think they just have the personnel that they can kind of go bucket for bucket in the backcourt with Trae Young. And then again, down low, I give them the advantage at all the forward spots. So yeah, I'm rolling with the Heat to go as the 10 seed and get in there.
If you're right and the Heat make it through, again, I don't think the Heat are going to do it, but if they were to make it through and get that 8 seed, like, I think that would galvanize the team enough that I would be a little bit worried if I was the Cavs because...
Worried that they're going to lose the series or worried that they lose a game?
Let's put it this way. I would be like, there's other playoff series that would shock me more if an upset happened. I'm just saying.
Okay, that's crazy. I agree though. I don't believe in
the Cavs that much, to be honest. They've got to show it to me in the playoffs. I'm still not there with them. Maybe I'm giving Sproles, but how do you like the Heat have done this before? I know maybe Jimmy Butler took all the Heat culture with him and they're just not that team anymore, but like the Heat have looked completely dead in the water, awful. And then for whatever reason, turn it on. Like, would you be shocked then? You're not giving them any chance to upset the Cavs?
To beat them in a series? No. I could see them get at least,
you're not backing
I could
guy.
See them take it to six. I could see them take okay, it to six. Six. Yeah, I don't think that they would beat them in a series, but this team is better. This team is better than what they had last year, and they were able to beat a fully healthy Celtics team last year. They took a game off them. If they can get a fluke win against the Celtics last year, that I think are 100% definitely a better team than this year's Cavs, I think that this year's Heat roster, if they're at the 8 seed, could at least get one game, if not two.
It's close.
Oh, yeah. Come on. And then Wiggins wins his finals MVP. He was robbed of. That's what we need to see happen. I'm in it. You know what? Fucking yeah. Wiggins is going to the finals. We're doing
this.
But yeah, let us know what you guys think of our play-in picks at Big Dog Ball Talk, X, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, for all you all that's out there. Will it be the Heat making history, the first 10 seed to get in there, or will it be the Magic and the Hawks holding it down there in the Eastern Conference? We both have the Magic making it in there, so there's your safe pick. And we both have the Warriors and the Grizzlies getting in there, flip-flopped here on our opinions on the 7-8, but we don't give the Kings or the Mavericks really much of a chance. But I'm still telling you, don't sleep on those Mavericks. But before we sign off here, Jordan, there was still a little bit of NBA news to cover today. Very interesting ones. It's fire season. Let's talk about the Phoenix Suns first, a team that we have just only talked about to shit on them lately or just talk about how bad they are at running their team. Three coaches in three seasons. They fired Mike Budenholzer after 1 year.
Crazy.
Like, I just don't even know what the point of bringing a guy like that in is. Like, you want a championship-level coach. You want that atmosphere. Like, yes, everything went to shit. Your defense was horrible, but you bring in a guy who is, like, historically known for not changing his strategy, especially defensively. So I don't know why you thought that was going to work, but you still have all these personnel issues. Whatever you thought was going to happen.
Matt, I swear you and I both felt good about it, though. Like, I'll say I was 100%. Wrong. Like, because I thought he was a good style of coach to bring in. Like, I don't know how things went so wrong over there. Now in hindsight, it's like...
But do you think that it's his fault, though? Like, I just think this is just another scapegoat coach fire.
Well, that's a good point. I don't know. Clearly, like, you see the, you know, the video of Kevin Durant walking off the floor and him kind of clashing with... I mean, again, KD... I think more of this needs to fall on KD, like the guy who's fucking almost 40 and hasn't shown an ability to lead a team at almost any point in his career, effectively, basically since he left OKC, you know, when he's sort of tasked with that. So there's that. But yeah, I do think Bud's being scapegoated a little bit. But I also kind of think, I don't know, like there's so many times where Bud, we've looked at Bud and been displeased or like baffled by his coaching, like so much of what he did in Milwaukee. I know Milwaukee did get over the top there in 2021. They won and all of his sort of previous sins were kind of forgotten about, but like you look at this year, this is a bad look for him. I will say that I don't think he deserves all the blame, but like to have this disastrous of a season, I feel like you gotta pass. Like you can't overstate how much blame each person gets. Devin Booker needs some blame. Bradley Beal needs some blame. Fucking Yusuf Nurkic needs some blame, even though he's not there anymore.
He still needs
blame. So I do think, it's a bit of a, you know, fire the coach because that's the easy thing to do. But Bud should have been able to get more than this out of these guys. I will say that.
Fair. Yeah. Yeah, that is true. I can definitely agree with that. Again, this was just such a tumultuous and just utter failure of a year. Tear it down to the fucking studs. Pretty much everyone but Devin Booker, fucking get rid of him. It's this should be the first domino to fall in this whole mess, but it's the... It's the Suns, so they're probably going to try and fucking make a crazy trade and get another star wing player that needs the ball in his hands in the offseason. So we'll see how that
Who should they get, Matt? If they
they'll get DeRozan.
okay, yeah, on the court. But Taylor Jenkins or Mike Malone, who's a better recently fired coach they should go after?
I think it's got to be Taylor Jenkins, man.
I was going to say Mike Malone. He's going to go in there and just scream in Katie's face.
Well, that's why I don't think it would work. Okay, because he'll piss them all off, and they're just going to say fuck it and mail it in. I think Taylor Jenkins is good. He'll be a little more like defensive-oriented, like, hey, try and just make him play hard. But yeah, he won't be he won't be getting on anyone's ass at practice by any means. So, but no, I do think Mike Malone's probably the better coach. Like, he'd be the better guy to get, but KD is a cupcake and he always will be, so you don't really want to bring a guy in like that. Moving on into the forest fire season here in the NBA, the Pelicans have also fired their top executive, David Griffin.
I keep telling them fire the medical staff. You're getting rid of the wrong people. He hasn't done a great job either.
No, and he hasn't, but at the same time, so he's been running this team for the last six seasons. The last 6 years, they've gotten a lot of good talent. They've done good things.
That's true. They've drafted
things.
Well. We'll say they've drafted well.
Drafted well. I mean, like, there hasn't been a ton of like real big front office moves other than, you know, the DeJounte Murray trade, which, to be fair, you know, that kind of blew up very early this year. You didn't really get to experiment and see how that was going to work. You make that trade for, you know, getting rid of Brandon Ingram off the books. And it's like, you know, that one kind of was just kind of forced because you knew you weren't going to get him back. So I don't know. Maybe they were upset with the haul they got in return because it really was pretty light at the end of the day. I'm just at the point where it's like, again, maybe you just want to get a fresh face, a fresh idea, a new outlook on how this team works. But I 100% agree with you. It's not ironic anymore. The problem is injuries with this team. It has always been injuries. Every single year, it is injuries. You have awesome talent. You have teams that have worked in the past, but you just can't fucking figure out a way to get them all on the court at the same time. And you will never win a basketball game if your team can't fucking show up. So maybe they're firing him because he really likes the medical staff and he didn't want to let them go. Yeah. He's playing badly like around that.
It's them.
I don't know.
I'm sticking with them. If they go, I mean, go.
Maybe it's because he hasn't been able to rein in Zion. I don't know if you heard the latest saga. He had two women. One chick hit another chick over the head with a key or something at his house. They were fighting over each other, all trying to get Zion. Yeah,
he needs to talk to Lou Williams. He needs to talk.
Honestly,
to
yeah, Lou he can. Williams. He needs to find a way to finesse this.
Yes, yes.
I just saw an interview actually. Psycho T was getting interviewed about Lou Williams' two girlfriends, and it's just funny hearing a guy like that try and have a give an explanation of how that was.
Oh my god! Yeah, I don't think anyone. He's Psycho T is getting two women anytime soon. I'd be surprised.
He was trying so hard.
I mean, he is a killer, but.
He was trying so hard not to say like they're hot. He was like, yeah, you know, they're not ugly. They're not bad. Like, they're good. Like more and more, he got closer to saying hot, but he just didn't want to say it. Yeah, it was funny.
So it's amazing.
I don't know who interviewed him. A couple white boys.
Okay, yeah. I had not heard that about Zion. That is hilarious. Zion's crazy, man. Zion is actually like one of the funniest. His interview or his like sideline interview where he's like, I'm a competitor. I want to win. Have you seen that where he makes that fucking face? I gotta send that to you. He's hilarious.
Where's Mariah Mills in all this?
I don't know. Good question. I've been wondering that. I don't think I
have to do some like, investigation. I'm gonna go and Google Mariah Mills after this and just check it out and see if I find anything. Watch some related videos, maybe some interviews or something.
Good job. Yes. Well done. But
it'll only take me 5 minutes less.
What are the odds though that like the new GM that comes in likes Zion? Because like what's there to like? Well, but like it's just like I feel like it was a thing of like they tried to shop Brandon Ingram for so long, no takers. Mm-hmm. They finally got him off the books. But now it's like there is no indication. I'm sorry, but there's no indication that Zion is going to resume the path back to like one of the best players in the NBA, worth the extension that you've got him on, worth all this, like being the franchise player. Like everything is saying that that's just not the case. And I feel like David Griffin was in a situation where he really wanted to see it through. You could tell he really wanted to see the vision of this team through. Like when you go back, they had that first round series against the Suns in 2021 mm-hmm. when, you know, the fuck Chris Paul t-shirts, everything, when they were really like just great energy in that building. That was the last time like the team was actually good. You could tell that he was still like attached to that. So whoever they bring in now, I don't think will be, and they'll maybe see this more like we see it and look around. It's like, okay, maybe we're keeping Herb Jones and Trey Murphy, everyone else get out of here. Zion, you for like first and foremost, cause he's, let's just be honest. He's been nothing but a headache for this team for so long. I realize he played, and looked decent for, you know, a period of time during this year. It did not matter. It's another completely lost season. You don't even have the consolation of still having Dyson Daniels. You just fucking traded him away and he's popped now immediately on the Hawks. Like it's just, if there's a team that feels kind of cursed and needs a reset, it's these guys. And if you've got a new sort of head of the front office coming in, I wouldn't be surprised if that's sort of the first thing that he does, just kind of tear things down. So yeah, Zion, I don't know, get ready to learn Chinese. Maybe he's going to New York. I don't know. I don't know where Zion can go, but somewhere else.
We need to get a little like hidden camera in there for his first meeting with whoever gets in there. Cause I guarantee all Zion does, he goes, listen, man, I know you've seen a lot of stuff, but just watch this. And he puts on a tape of his fucking high school mixtape doing these 360 windmills. Holy yeah. They're probably like, this is awesome. Okay. Yeah. You know what? We're going to keep you. Offensive rebound, puts it over Taco Fall. They'll give him all the money for that. It's crazy times. I mean, again, there was a lifetime ago that I thought the Pelicans were like getting ready to, you know, be a championship contender.
They looked amazing.
Yeah. Not anymore. So wasn't that like two seasons ago? At one point, they were like third in the West for like the first half of the year.
That was last year. Wasn't that last year?
It like, could have been,
not this
man.
Past season, but last season.
I feel
season.
Like every year this has happened where they start the year unreal.
It's happened multiple times, which is crazy.
And then it's always culminates in, you know, Zion or Brandon Ingram getting injured, and then the season's fucked.
Yes. Yeah.
Then it's like CJ McCollum, take us to the finish line.
Yes. Oh man. Yeah. It's crazy. I again, have we not? Were they not one of the teams that we considered shunning because it's just not even worth talking about them?
We might have. That might have been the forgotten shun that we were trying to. I think maybe we couldn't remember.
We're so
that
forgettable.
Makes sense.
We forgot about the shun.
Yeah, that's the word. Honestly, that might be a bigger insult than us remembering
to shun you.
Because at least if we remember to
shun you?
Actively, yeah, we're actively saying we don't want to talk to you. If we, it's bad. It's all bad vibes over there in New Orleans. Again, talking about ripping down to the studs, probably time there too. But get us out of Big Ball Talk. Stay up to date with the podcast. Like I said, X, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, all the old heads out there. We will be back with a Wednesday special. Hallelujah. It's been a while since a podcast was actually uploaded on Wednesday when it was supposed to be on Wednesday. So be on the lookout for that.
See if it's on Wednesday this week. Yes. It might be Thursday.
Who knows?
It's okay, though.
Who knows? We will be giving out all of our hardware, NBA MVP, Defense Player of the Year.
I got to prepare for that. This is going to be hard.
Yes, it's a big one. Clutch Player of the Year. Maybe they'll do Comeback Player of the Year. We'll add in a couple things. And who knows, maybe we'll even sneak in some more new awards. Obviously, we give out Big Dog the Year Award. Maybe we'll sneak in a couple more as well. But yeah, be ready for that one. Going to be a loaded episode. You won't want to miss it. And then, of course, Friday's episode, we'll be previewing the entire NBA playoffs, finals picks, and more. So be ready for that one. And until then, this is Big Dog Ball Talk. Matt Eichhorn and Jordan Flegel. And as my good friend Jordan always says,
Matt, you know, all you kids, you got to change the oil in your car. You got to pay attention to any noises. You know, car trouble is probably the worst thing that I can ever go through in life. I mean, I haven't had a car for that long. Now I'm in a two-car household. Things are going wrong with both of them at once, which is like its own kind of hell. But you know, I'm going to get through it, but it's not good. One of the worst parts of growing up.
Yeah, it's kind of like what we were talking about. We were talking about my house sale. I'm not looking forward to the fact that when things need to be fixed, I can't just text my landlord and say, hey, buddy, your house is fucked up.
Man,
you got to fix it. I'm not ready for that.
That's on you.
Paul didn't teach me enough. This is bad.